You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill.
This is Omar Ahmed for IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast. With me is Mr. Everlast himself and fiance of Mr. Everlast, Mr. Undisputed as well.
Found it, yeah.
The guy had to come and bring it.
I never forgot about you. There's too many to remember.
Soon to be a wife, Josh, correct?
Yeah, soon to be wifey. For lifey.
So yeah, we're at the new Sports Direct store here, Oxford Street, here with Everlast as well. You are the face of Everlast, aren't you?
Looks like it today, aye. You know, coming up there and seeing my face on the posters and things like that. So yeah, it's cool. It's times like this when you see it and you go, oh, well, you've just realised what you've did. You know, you see your face and things like that, you go,
I'm actually sick of seeing your face, to be fair.
Face is plastered everywhere. Sick of seeing my
own face. So Danielle, obviously he was away in camp for a long time in Fort Ventura and Vegas. Did you miss him?
I did.
Oh, the awkward pause there.
I did, but my house was tidy when he was away. The minute he comes back, it's like a bomb scare. So
what's he been up to when I've been away? What have you been up to when I've been away? That was a pause.
I've got obviously I do my son when he's away. I'm in the house by myself. So I really do miss him, but I don't miss your untidiness, I must admit. Like, my house is nice and tidy.
So obviously last time I saw you, Josh, was at Heathrow Airport where your bags didn't arrive. So we was on the plane. What was the first thing you did when you got back to Scotland?
I told you I had a party. You know, I was on the champagne on the plane, you saw it. So it continued, the celebration continued for a couple of days. You know, it was a good couple of days. Yeah, we just sat and got drunk in the house. Because we were isolating, we had the guys that we were on Vegas with come with us, so it was an isolation party. So yeah, it was good. We had the party continue. It was good.
Has he stopped yet?
No, both of us haven't stopped yet. So that's I've got the shakes all the time right now. But yeah, no, it's good. This kind of stuff never lasts forever, so take it as it comes and enjoy it while it's here. So yeah, it's been good.
So a bit of a bizarre one last night, bumping into Logan Paul in London. Strange one. Coogan told us that on stage, but you didn't give us the real version of events. So tell us now.
What was the real version?
He kept calling him the wrong name. He kept calling him his brother. You still do now. You keep calling him his brother.
Paul, Jake, or Logan, or whatever it was. I was just like, I think it was calling Paul Logan at some point.
Oh, God,
But no, I was sitting there and just like, that looks like that Jake Paul, although it was Logan Paul. I was like, that looks like that Paul fella. And Mel was sitting there and she went, it is. So he was walking over and he had his wee team with him and walked away, sort of, and I went 50-1 like that. Yeah, it was 50-1. And he come over and was like, "Yeah, man." He's one of his mates or guys come over. "Yeah, man. Here, there's a card if you want to see a real fight." I'm like, "Oh, come on, lads. Come on, pack it in, wind your neck in." And then they went, "Hey, you're Josh Taylor." And I said, "Yeah, yeah." And they come over and we had a laugh. Yeah, we had a real good laugh. It was good.
Actually, really nice guy. Yeah, really nice guy.
It's all bravado, isn't it? What you see on camera. Are you a fan of the Pauls?
To be honest with you, I don't really know them that well, obviously, but I don't necessarily agree with what's happening with the whole boxing world and what they're going into. But like Josh said, they're making money, and if that's what they want to do, then fair enough. But I don't agree with what they're doing on the boxing side, but it is what it is. But he was a really nice guy. He was very down to earth and stuff like that.
Someone who is doing it right in the boxing world is Mr. Undisputed himself in 18 fights. Yeah, I mean, it hasn't sunk in for you. It probably hasn't sunk in for kind of your fans as well, and for the whole country. And you touched on a point there where obviously the Olympics didn't go the way Josh wanted to, and he was going to pack it in. We didn't know this as the public. What exactly did you tell him? And obviously, it's helped him massively to get to this point.
Well, obviously, it was just him being him at the time. He was like, "I've had enough. I've obviously dedicated so much of my life already to get to the Olympics and blah, 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 blah." And then he was like, "I've had enough, that's me." And I was like, "No, Josh, come on. You've got more in the bag and you've got so much more to prove to everybody what you've got." And like, well, look at him now. Number one.
It's all down to her, eh?
That's it. I actually forgot about that until you mentioned that there. But aye, aye, that was true. Aye. I was ready for packing it in after the Olympics. Aye. I was just me be me throwing the dummy of the pram, you know, because I'm a bad loser. But I was gutted for days and days and days after it. And then you obviously come back and you get regroup and get back on it. But at the time I was like, ah, that's been done. Because I was miserable. I was making 60 kilograms and I was this height I am now. I looked like a crackhead. I was like skinny and weak. I felt weak all the time and I just wasn't enjoying it. And then not to get the result and kind of get, no robbed, but the fight stolen off me. You know what I mean? Nicked off me. I never got beat. I never got outpointed. I never got out fought or boxed. They just stole off me by a daft wee point and he ran away and stole the fight. And I just felt, I was just like, oh, I'm not doing this anymore. I've had enough. And then a couple of days, a few pizzas in me after the Olympics, and I was all right. A couple of Big Macs and that at the Olympic Village. It was free, all 24 hours. So I was a couple of pizzas, a couple of Big Macs. Later, I was all right. I was fine again. Dummy was back in.
I guess there's a bigger message there to anyone in life, sport, whatever walk in life. If you're pursuing something and something doesn't quite go right at a particular time, keep going.
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know, it's... You just have to kind of get all the, like Josh says, the wee monkey that's on your shoulder telling you that you can't do this, you can't do that, or if ever you're doubting yourself, you have to obviously keep that, push that away and just make sure that you're positive vibes all the time, definitely.
Well, as I said, when you come back to the airport, it didn't really feel right to talk about what's next. It was about that moment there and then. But now you have had some time to reflect, aside from all the partying. Do want to talk about what is next. So, mandatories aside, I think the two names that you've been most linked with are Terence Crawford and Teofimo Lopez. I do want to start with Lopez. Him and his old man have said, don't duck us. They suggested you're fearing him as well. Did you see any of them comments, Josh?
Yeah, I seen this. Somebody said, why are you scared? Like, why would they be scared of Teofimo Lopez? Why would they be scared of him? Like, it's, why would they duck him? He wasn't even on my radar. You know, he's got unfinished business to do at lightweight. I feel he's the one that's ducking other fighters at his own weight. And like, say, your Devin Haney's and your Garcia's and things like that. You know, he's got... And the rematch with Loma. You know, he's ducking them. He's running away from them. He's trying to go up and get the big fight against myself to cash in. I see it as a bit of insecurity. Insecurity, you know, it's, he's done well. He's done really well to beat Lomachenko. But would they do it again if they fought again? I don't think so. So why would they be scared?
I think they're just kind of using perhaps Josh's name, a bit of clever publicity kind of thing as well, because you know Josh better than anyone. He's fought everyone in his career. He's not scared of anyone.
No, definitely. And like, I think I get my back up a wee bit more than what Josh does about these things, because when I see them calling him out and whatever, I'm like, who's this? Who's that? But like Josh says, he's got all the belts, and when you're the number one at your division, everybody's wanting a wee bit of you, and they want to obviously call you out to make noise and make themselves relevant, and that's obviously what's happening just now. But
it's part of the game, you know, it's all part of the game, isn't it? It's all the big circus, the big drama show, the big GGG.
Well, I said you're not scared of anyone. Are you scared of her?
A little bit, aye, sometimes. Aye. That's what... Aye, best sparring partner, like, especially in their shoes and dishes and pots and that coming flying at me, you know, when she loses a rag.
They've got gloves there, but couldn't remember how we sparred.
Nah, I'm all right.
Calling you out right now.
I don't want to be 18-1.
Yeah, of course, the other one is Terence Crawford. How realistic do you think that is, Josh, for next or maybe next year?
It's very realistic. It's an easy fight to make, you know. He's struggling to get a fight at the minute. I think one of his fights fell through, didn't it, a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
Again, so he's not fought for a long time. We're both under Bob Arum, you know. So it's all in house. So it's an easy fight to make. So I think it's a very realistic fight to make, and I would jump at the chance if it came around. I would take it tomorrow, and I feel I can win that fight. You know, everybody say, "Oh, step too far." But everything was a step too far. Postal was a step too far. Progress was a step too far. And then Ramirez was a step too far. And I keep proving everybody wrong, and I'll prove them wrong again.
However, saying that, would you say at the moment, whether it's at 140, 147, perhaps that is the toughest opponent you could go in with Terence Crawford?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not going to badmouth him. I think he's a great fighter. A great, great fighter. He's got it all. He can box, he can move, he can switch hit. Southpaw orthodox is just as smoothly as one side that does the other. He can fight. He's got the spite in him. He can punch. You know, so he's got it all. He's got it all. He's a really, really good fighter. And for me to win that fight, I need to be at my best. And if I'm at my best, I can win that fight because I can do it all as well. I can box, I can fight, I can switch, I can do it all as well. And I'm a bad little fucker as well when I get going. So I think I can win that fight, but I need to be at my best.
So massive news for Top Rank, obviously who you're with. Done a deal with Sky Sports, which is brilliant. Now you won't have that stress of, you know, I don't know how the Undisputed fight never made it on Sky or BT, but that stress isn't there. You are going to be shown on Sky Sports, and these guys like Lopez and Crawford, they're going to be on Sky, so these fights can get even bigger within the UK.
Yeah, it's good. And Sky is a platform, a massive, massive platform. It's the biggest platform in the UK. Great machine, you know, it's a massive machine, Sky. So I'm finally glad that I've got the platform that I deserve on Sky Sports and having that at the back of me now, so that'll really get my platform going now. So now that it's been made, hopefully they can start showing my fight on Sky Sports now as well.
Just out of interest, what's the most annoying thing about him and the best thing about him?
He shouts my name about 500 times in a day. That's the most annoying thing. All I hear is D, Danielle, 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 D, D, that's all I hear.
Where's that?
Open your eyes. And the best thing I love about him is his passion. Like, he's so dedicated to what he does and being there for me all the time as well when I need him. But yeah, definitely his passion and his drive for life. That's what I love about him.
Maybe same question to you.
Oh, damn. Put me on the spot.
Definitely.
Oh, no. Nah, like, I love what he bits. You know, she's there for me all the time. She's such a kind person. Loving and generous and funny, I'll give you that. We'll say it now, the first time I'll give you your props. You're funny. You're funny. Although most of it, she's funny the time when she doesn't realise it. You know, so she just makes me laugh and she's there all the time for me. And I love her a bit. She's such a good person.
Didn't even say a bad thing about you, so.
No, there is probably some, but no, that's good. Thanks, babes.
Just to close off then, of course, I think most likely next is going to be Jack Catterall. He obviously did the honourable thing of waiting for this fight with yourself. And that would be some special occasion. Two British fighters at hopefully Edinburgh Castle. It's a massive thing, that.
Yeah. I just, obviously, whether it be Edinburgh Castle or anywhere else in Scotland, I think we need to bring the fights back to Scotland and help, obviously, and have the fights there for the boxing fans. Like, for the UK, we need some fights back home. Just so we can get everything up and running again, you know what I mean? It's and obviously his first defence, which will obviously be Jack, but it'll be massive. So that's what we need back in. We need that back in Scotland, definitely.
It's not bad for a mandatory, that one.
It's brilliant, and it's the old it's the old Scotland England thing as well. You know, it's the old enemy, as it gets called. You know, so it's gonna be great. And I like Jack. Got a lot of time for him. You know, after the fight, I invited him up to my room right after the fight. After I did my press conferences and that, he was there and he was sort of hanging around. And I says, come up, man, come up. So he came up for a while, we had a beer and had a wee chat and that. So, yeah, I like Jack. I've got a lot of time for him. But that will change when the fight gets made, you know, and his mindset will change as well. But, I like him. I've got a lot of time for him. So I think that's most likely what's going to happen next. So I'd like to honour the promise that was made, you know, that he steps aside on the promise that he gets to fight the winner. So, yeah, I'd like to honour that. But if something does come along and it's bigger and better, then I'm going to take it. You know, I'll vacate and move up, or may vacate and do something. But I'd like to honour that word and keep my word, you know. And I like Jack, I've got a lot of time for him.
Well, I think I've got eyes burning in the back of my head. We need to let you go. So, Josh Taylor, Danielle, thank you very much for talking to IFL TV, obviously here with Everlast. And we'll speak soon, all right?
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill, in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.